Everything and Nothing by Araminta Hall, read by Amy Elton. The grey-haired man began to laugh again. First you tell me that marriage is founded on love, and then when I express my doubts as to the existence of any love, apart from the physical kind, you try to prove its existence by the fact that marriages exist. But marriage nowadays is just a deception. The Kreutzer Sonata, Leo Tolstoy. The tube spat Agatha into one of those areas where people used to lie about their postcodes. Although why anyone would ever have been ashamed to live here was beyond Agatha's understanding. The streets were long and wide, with trees standing as sentry guards outside each Victorian house. The houses themselves towered out of the ground with splendour and grace, as if they had risen complete when God created the world in 7 days, one of Agatha's favourite childhood stories. They were stern and majestic, with their paths of orange bricks like giant cough lozenges, their stained glass window panels in the front doors reflecting light from the obligatory hallway chandeliers, the brass door fittings and little iron gates which looked as correct as a bow tie at the neck. They even had those fantastic bay windows, which looked to Agatha like a row of proud, pregnant bellies. You never saw anything like that where she had been brought up. The address on the piece of paper in Agatha's hand had led her to a door with an unusual bell. It was a hard, round, metallic ball which you pulled out from an ornate setting and was probably as old as the house. Agatha liked the bell, both for its audacity and daring to protrude and its undaunted ability to survive. She pulled the ball and a proper tinkling sound rang somewhere inside. As she waited, Agatha tried to get into character. She practiced a smile. She told herself to remember to keep her hand movements small and contained. It wasn't that she couldn't be this person, or even that this person was a lie. It was just that she had to remember who this person was. The man who opened the door looked ruffled, like he'd had a hard day. A girl was crying in the background, and he was holding a boy who looked too old to be sucking on the bottle clamped in his mouth. The house felt cloyingly warm, and she could see the kitchen windows were all steamed up. Coats and shoes and even a bike lay across the hall. "I'm sorry," said Christian Donaldson, as she supposed him to be. "We're in a bit of chaos, but nothing terminal yet." "Don't worry." Agatha had learned that people like the Donaldsons secretly, or maybe not even secretly, like to appear chaotic. He held out his spare hand. "Anyway, Annie, I presume?" "Agatha, actually." His mistake unnerved her, and she tried to save herself from instant rejection. "Well, Aggie, really." "Shit, sorry, my fault. I thought my wife said she's not home yet." His flustered response reassured her. They were just one of those families. He stood back. "Anyway, come in. I'm keeping you standing on the doorstep." The wailing girl was sitting at the kitchen table, and the kitchen itself looked as though a small and mutinous army had attacked every cupboard, spilling all of their contents onto every available surface.
"Daddy!" screamed the girl from the table. "It's not fair! Why do I have to eat all my broccoli when Hal doesn't have to eat anything at all?"
Agatha waited with the child for an answer, but none came. She hated the way the adults found silence sufficient. She looked at the man whom she'd hoped would employ her and saw a thin film of sweat on his face, which gave her the confidence to speak.
"What's your favourite colour?"
The girl stopped crying and looked at her. It was too interesting a question to ignore.
"Pink."
Predictable, thought Agatha. Her daughters were going to like blue.
"Well, that's lucky, because I've got a packet of Smarties in my bag and I don't like the pink ones. So if you eat that one tiny piece of broccoli, I'll give you all my pink Smarties."
The girl looked stunned.
"Really?"
Agatha turned to Christian Donaldson, who she was relieved to see smiling.
"Well, if that's okay with your dad."
He laughed. "What's a few Smarties amongst friends?" Christian couldn't stand the girls who moved into his house to look after his children. He wondered what he looked like to this one. He wanted to explain that he was never usually at home at this time, that it was only as a result of a massive row he'd had with Ruth at the weekend. Something about his children and responsibility and the fact that she'd be sacked if she took another day, all which...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?